privilege to have C.F. Lawton, the pastor, for many years at Milwaukee Baptist Church. 30 years he was there, and now he's in the fair land of Arizona. I guess that's retirement. Is that retirement state, Arizona?
No, it's refirement.
Refirement, okay. So I don't think he lost any of that, so... But we're glad that he could be with us. He was with us in the early stages of Mequonago Baptist Church when we held a Bible study at the Savings and Loan building there in Mequonago. So he was here before almost anybody was here and helping us with this work. And we're thankful that he could be with us today. Trust that the Lord will use him in your life. Brother Fraser, good to have you.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
What a privilege. My, that's good. Crank me up. I need it. You did it again. You made me cry. I don't know. We did it last time, too. Something about... I can't quite... A little foggy in this 64-year-old mind, but... There was a song, right? What was that? Yeah. And then this one, I will praise him. Wait till you see what my message is. My wife, Carol, sends her greetings. She wanted to make sure that I gave this to you, okay? I'm going to open it for you. Come on up. I don't know what it is. It's Probably some liquor or something. I don't know. Let's see what it is. Tucson, Arizona, salsa. All
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Wait a minute. I want to see if this is the hot stuff. Medium hot. Can you handle that up here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's got,
I'll
I don't
put
know.
Some hot sauce in it.
It's kind of a worldly label. But, okay. Don't let it get away from you, all right? Okay, she sends her greeting. I want you to know, I do have a wife. Okay? All right. Okay, she's holding the fort down, making sure they don't vote me out while I'm here. All right. You ever get down there, come and visit us. We'd like to see you. And now what they do... What most people do when they come to Arizona, you see, is they don't get to Tucson. They'll get to, Phoenix, Scottsdale, Gilbert, Mesa, all those big fancy towns. They don't. You got to come down the road to get down to Tucson, where the real good place is. We're slightly 10 degrees cooler, right? We're a little higher. And life is a little slower, okay, and a little too casual. But I want to thank the Lord for Brother Robert's, wow, what a privilege to be here and actually to have him in town while I'm here. Amen. I heard a little, by the way, B.R. Lincoln, if you ever heard of B.R. Lincoln, B.R. Lakin, great country preacher, great evangelist. I heard him preach one time in a meeting, and he said,
"Well, thank you, brother. It's good to be here." He said, "When you get to be my age, it's good to be anywhere."
Amen. And so that's kind of how I feel at this point. And like I said, you wonder how Brother Roberts and I have been friends for so long. Well, we only see each other once every 15 years. So that's how absence makes the heart grow fonder, you know. And so I thought I better. He was in my wedding. I wasn't in his, but he was in mine. And I haven't gotten over it yet. So I'm trying to keep up. I'm trying to keep the guys who were in my wedding alive, you know. It's. Brother Paul Stevens is up in Oshkosh. We had a good time with him. And then Jim Heising, I'm going to visit him right after service today. and he's battling cancer, blood cancer, and precious friend of ours, and for many years. And then, of course, my brother's doing pretty good. He was there. And we're going to go around the world. He wants to take me to Manila. He does infrastructure projects. He's a Christian businessman. Get this. You ought to go with us. He said he had a meeting over there, and they're going to build apartment buildings and roads and some motels and stuff like that, just infrastructure. And he had a meeting, a community meeting, right? 10,000 people showed up. He called me on the phone. He said, you need to get over here. He said, you come over here right now. He said, they've named a highway after us. There was a General Lawton. There was MacArthur, and then there was a Lawton, and they built a highway after him. They think we're, you know, big shots, you know. He said, you'll have an immediate mega church. He says, now, when you preach to them, they'll probably run away, but... Isaiah chapter 6. Let's go over there. This is a special place. So it wasn't a funny trail, it's a bunny trail. Okay. I'll remember that. I'll try. Not a funny trail. It's a bunny trail. All right. This pulpit's a little high for me. Come up a little bit. I got to read this to you. This pertains to us here. A new college friend had informed me that she was from New York, but not the city. She quickly added, everyone thinks all of New York State is urban. I live on Long Island, way out in the country. I had doubts that any place so near New York City could be called country, but I didn't argue. When I visited her, my suspicions were confirmed. All I saw were acre after acre of single-family homes and shopping centers. This isn't country, I told her. It's suburbia. Sometime later, my friend visited me in North Carolina. During the drive from the airport, I watched her eyes widen as fast food restaurants and gas stations gradually gave way to cow pastures, cotton fields, and dirt roads. Now who lives in the country, I asked smugly. She said, I live in the country. She adamantly replied, you live in the middle of nowhere. So, like the old black preacher from down south said, everybody's got to be somewhere, right? So I praise God that you're here, and that God gave you this place. And as I said yesterday, or maybe I said it this morning, what came in my mind is when you come on this property and you come in this place, you realize it's a special place, a godly place. And then when you meet the pastor, you realize it's a godly pastor. And you realize his wife's even more godly than he is. And then the children have followed. That is a success. You know what I told you yesterday? You're a very wealthy man. Very wealthy man. And I thank God for his blessing on your life and your ministry. I wanted to share with you from my heart. It was so nice, so wonderful just to observe yesterday, just to sit back there and just see a great soul-winning story come to fruition. We never know, do we? We never know. That is it Paul or Philip? Your boy gave him a tract. Philip. Philip found Nathaniel, amen? Okay. Well, Philip found Wes and handed him a tract, right? We got some of our soul-winning carts, tracts out there. And little did Philip know what was going to happen, right? Just being a faithful soul winner. Don't tell me that it doesn't pay to give out tracts. I've had people walk into our church and I have no idea where they got the tract. You know, we just try to flood the area, you know. 3% or less of Tucsonans go to church. You could say, well, like the shoe salesman, right, that went to Africa. And he gets over there. He couldn't sell any shoes. Right? Couldn't sell any shoes. Nope. He came back and said, nobody wears shoes. Right? So he came back. So they sent another man over there. He wasn't very smart, but he got over there. And he had a good attitude. Right? And he started selling shoes. He started putting in orders. And they sent over case after case of shoes. They literally set up a shoe store. He said, well, what's the difference between the guy who went there? He said, everybody needs shoes. Yeah. Amen. You know, it's all in our attitude. You can, what attitude are you, what, let me ask you a question. What attitude did you embrace when you came through that door this morning? You say, Lord, give me a submissive, attentive mind so that you can change my life. Listen, I had a guy compliment me a while back. He said, man alive, balding, sawed off runt like you can serve God for over 40 years and see hundreds, if not several thousand souls saved. He said, anybody can do it, huh? Yeah. That's right. So let's get with it. Isaiah chapter 6, and you're going to see how that song that you just sang, that hymn, there's a difference between hymns and songs, right? That great hymn has something to say to us. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Boys, this is not a choo-choo train, okay? This is his cherubim, and seraphim, and angels. And we'll stop there just a moment. What's the first verse? In the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah was a good king. Didn't have a very good ending, did he? He went into the temple when he wasn't supposed to. And he got leprosy. So he didn't end up very well. But all through his kingdom, he rebuilt Jerusalem and the defenses and God used him to rebuild. And he was very close to Isaiah. And so this was a time of mourning. In that time of mourning is when God races to you and embraces you with his grace, his comforting grace. 2 Corinthians 1. He talks about that comfort numerous times, and he comforts us that we might be a comfort to somebody else. See, comfort is not an end in itself, is it? Comfort is something that God brings to our soul and that we carry to someone else. Amen? That's why he comforts us. It's not about us, is it? It's about him. And so, some of you have that sheet. You have the sheet that we gave out today? If I could. He said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. We're going to talk about God today. My boy, many years ago, Paul, precious young man, what's he, 35? No man had a better son, except Ron Roberts. And I'll tell you, he asked me one day, as a young man, he said, Dad, what is God like? What is God like? What do you say to him? It's like the kindergarten teacher told everyone to draw a picture of what was important to them, right? The back of the room, Johnny began to labor and over his drawing. Everybody else finished, handed in their paper, but he didn't. Right? The teacher graciously walked back, put her arm around Johnny. Johnny, what are you drawing?
she said. He didn't look up. He just kept on working feverishly on the picture, you know. And she said, what are you drawing a picture of? God. But Johnny, she said gently, no one knows what God looks like. He said, they will when I'm through. So he had an idea of God, didn't he? The fact of the matter is, he's so far above us. And I have to tell you, I want to interject this. I hardly know what to say about yesterday. Now, some of you, this might be like, okay, we've been there before. I'll tell you something. I ain't never seen anything like that in my life. I've been to a lot of weddings, a lot of funerals. That wedding was as if earth stopped and stood still a little, and a little corner of heaven came down. Amen? I don't know what superlatives to use. It's like this great crescendo, this great climax of faithfulness in your life. And you're just begging God and praying that God will bring the right man to your daughter. That song, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Well, that's what happened with Isaiah here, isn't it? I saw also the Lord in his time of sorrow. And then sitting in front of me, I thought, who is this dear man in front of me? And it was Dwayne Bucher. Is he here today? There you are, brother. I was looking for you back there, and you came up. And he shared with me. I've wept numerous times since I've been to Wisconsin. Brother Phelps, Paul, he and I are Gracebook. I don't call it Facebook. Gracebook friends, okay? That's all I use it for. He told me. And then another shared about Mike Gordon's dear precious wife, Carol, went home unexpectedly. If you know Carol Gordon, how many knew Carol Gordon? Yeah, am I right? Radiant, this amazingly faithful woman. 18, 20 years in administration at Maranatha, and the old Maranatha, right? And faithful pastor's wife. How long has he been in Hartford? 42 years, see? I mean, like you guys must be really... I bet you never even talk, do you? Rarely? You're too busy, right? We get busy. So pray for Brother Gordon. Pray for Brother Bucher. It's going to be a tremendous time of testing in their life. But I think about the family. I thought about the music yesterday. It's really a beautiful thing when a young lady comes down the aisle dressed in white, and it means something. Amen. It applies. It's appropriate. Right? The world wants to put the pure, try to throw a little a paint of purity on the filth and immorality of the world. It's a beautiful thing to see. And then I saw the purple, right? Now I wear a white shirt. That's not by accident. I made the mistake one Sunday morning. You know what a perfect storm? This was a perfect storm of conviction. I thought, well, I'm in Tucson. I can wear a different color shirt. Right? Close your ears down here. So I put on a purple shirt. And this purple kind of tie. And I stood up to preach. And I thought, this really isn't appropriate, but, I just didn't feel comfortable about it. But I thought, you know, I'll put this purple shirt on. And I was preaching on hell that day, right? And I went over to Luke 16, and it talked about the rich man who was clothed in purple. And fine linen. I'm going to hell. I know it. I said, excuse me, folks, I gotta go in the office and change. But then I figured out yesterday, I found the answer. You can wear a white shirt with a purple tie. Amen? That works. So, I ain't wearing purple. I ain't wearing white, baby. Cedar Home white. Okay? Yeah. So, you know, that's what happens in my life. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. Okay, here it is. Everybody. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And God's people said, Amen. Now that's a very, very, that verse is pregnant with meaning. It's just loaded. Let me just tell you this, and this is kind of a sidebar. All of Isaiah is not just to the Jew. Did you know that? Yeah, I know. It's a Jewish prophet. Isaiah 44, write these down if you can. I'm going to have her make the note up. This is, you didn't get this. There's a word that God spoke to my heart about. Isaiah 44, 28, it talks about Cyrus. Was he a Jew? Phones off, please. Isaiah 44. We put that on the screen. Turn your cell phone off. Okay, Isaiah 49. Had a lady in her church. She was in the church and her husband was at another church, right? And she's on the front pew and they were visiting churches to figure out where they were going. Yeah, it's okay over here. How is it over there? Pretty boring, huh? Okay. Right in the service. Amazing. Isaiah 49, 1 to 7. Read it. Talks about, Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from his womb. Isaiah 49, 1. From the bowels of my mother, he hath made mention of my name. He knows about you, beloved. Okay? Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 63, and I just want to give you a thought here. Isaiah 63, along this line of seeing the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah 63, verse 15. Look down from heaven, and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Great question. Are they restrained? What's the next word? Anybody? Doubtless. I want you to circle that word. Doubtless. Doubtless. And I'm going to give you a verse that maybe you never saw before. Maybe you saw it and just kind of passed over it. Well, I'm in Isaiah, trying to get through Isaiah, you know. What a wonderful book. Verse 16, read it with me together out loud, everybody. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. God's people said, Was that to the Jew? Yes or no? No. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Okay, this is shouting ground. Amen. What's the first word, brother? Doubtless, thou art our father. Who? Though Abraham is ignorant of us. Oh, what's the name? Israel, acknowledge us not. There's room for the Gentile. Amen. Doubtless, that's the doubtless of the saints. Just write this thought down somewhere there. The doubtless of the saints. I have a heavenly Father. And I'm not part of the 12 tribes of Israel. Doubtless, I have a Father. Knows the hairs of my head. That's not a big job for him. Okay. He knows my name. He knows the number of my days. He knows everything about me. He knows about my circulatory system. He knows about everything about my life, physically, mentally, emotionally. He knows all about me. And he still loves me. And he loves to hear from me. I got a silly little poem. It goes like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. You and I have a heavenly Father. Sometimes we pray to Jesus and we're thankful the Holy Spirit. You remember that we have a heavenly Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a glorious, wonderful truth that we have a heavenly Father. I was on the way back from my nephew's graduation. He graduated from college. I was going down I-10 and it was 10 o'clock-ish. I was coming through, trying to head home. Trying to get through Sheriff Joe Arpaio's district. He has cameras up, right? And then they mail you smile, you know, they mail you the ticket, you know. So I was being a good boy. I was like over in the, there's like 5 lanes. I was in the 4th lane over to the left. Got to Avondale. You know where Avondale is? You know where Avondale is? You know. This guy came off. I'm not kidding. I'm about 65 over here. He comes ripping off. Wham! Just came over, just out of nowhere. Whacked me. First accident I've ever had. Right? I mean, and boy, did I have a doozy. A high-speed highway collision, 95 miles an hour. And this guy whacks me, and I'm going. Just as he came, all I had the chance to do was say, Lord! Did you ever have an experience like that? And God came down and enveloped me, embraced me with his protection. I was running a good car, and a Nissan Altima, and the side airbag curtain came down. And that's what saved my life. My head went wham and would have hit because the window broke, and I would have just been like a ping pong ball off of that thing. I'm just telling you, I had a heavenly Father in that moment of need. All I had a chance to do was say, Lord, isn't it great to know the Lord? You can call on him in the moment of that trial like that. When you know you're facing death and his car. So he hit me, and then his car flipped over about 4 or 5 times, and he was fine, I guess. So I don't know if he was drinking or texting or what, but thank God for his watch care. Doubtless, thou art our Father. That's the doubtless of the saints, the doubtless of sin. I'm going to give you these quickly. The doubtless of sin and unbelief, Numbers 14:30. He says, doubtless you shall not enter into the land. You didn't believe me. You're not going in. And that's the doubtless of sin. That, as old Dr. Cedarholm used to say, be sure your sin will find you out. How true that is, isn't it? You can't get away with sin. You think God is blind? Some old man upstairs, you know, playing the harmonica? He sees everything we do, every moment of the day. And that's the doubtless of sin and unbelief. And of course, Psalm 126, 5 and 6 is the doubtless of the soul winner. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That's the doubtless of the soul winner. Let me ask you a question. We go. We knock on doors, right? You knock on doors around here? Knock a door? You do that, right? Time to go soul winning. I guess I got to go. Pastor Roberts is going to think I'm a backslider, but I don't go knock on doors. You have a burden for souls? Philip did. He not only had a burden for, he followed up on them, right? That's what it's all about. Having a care for souls. The Apostle Paul said, I was wishing myself accursed. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that I might be saved. What's the Michigan greeting? I'll tell you what it is. It's weeping. He that goeth forth what? And weepeth. Amen. Shall doubtless. If you don't weep, you don't water the seed with your compassion and your concern. You know what? Maybe you won't have very good results. But I'll tell you what, you go out there like the lady who was in the hotel lobby and a man came up to her and was talking to her about her soul. Her husband came down and said, who was that? He said, well, that was just a man. He was talking to me about my soul. And he said to her, he said, why don't you tell him to mind his own business? And she said, dear, if you had seen the tears flowing down his face, you would understand it was his business. Oh, okay. We don't weep like we should. And this dry-eyed, cold-hearted Christianity really is not very appealing to those who are lost. But I'm here to tell you something. Here you go, Brother Griffin. You know what this is? Oops. Guess what that is? I keep this with me. You know what that is? This is Brother Griffin's tie with egg on it. That is a million galaxies. That's what it is. It's a picture of a million galaxies. I'm here to tell you, that's the God I have. The God of a million galaxies. And in that galaxy, here's Earth. You can see Earth here, right? There's Earth right there. Right? Okay. Now there's the sun, and Earth is that little dot down there, right? Okay. And then we have the red giants, Betelgeuse, Antares. And you can't see this, maybe, but inside Antares is the entire orbit of Mars around the sun. Can fit in one star, one planet. Think of it. There's planets like that out here. That's my God. You know what? It's amazing that God, really, in relational size, we're just a little speck of dust. And we have all of these little tiny creatures called humans and souls on that little speck of dust. And Jesus became us that he might win us for heaven. Back to chapter 6, please. And he cried one to another and said, let's read verse 3 again of chapter 6. So, okay. And you have that sheet, right? Talk about the school of evangelism. There's a heaven and there's a hell if you want to write it in there. Next time I come, if he lets me come back, we'll do the school of adversity and suffering. He that winneth souls is wise. There's a heaven and a hell. Amen. There is. They're a place. Right? There's a harvest. We could talk so much about the harvest today. Amen. Harvest is great, but the laborers are few. At the time of Christ, think of it, beloved. At the time of Christ, there was 200 million people in the world. He said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Now, with infrared technology, we can figure out where the humans are. There's approximately 8 billion souls on the earth. You know, Brother Mincy, remember Brother Mincy? He used to sing that chorus over at Lucerne where I got saved. He used to sing that chorus. Untold millions are still untold. Now we have to sing what? Untold billions are still untold. I praise God for your missionary mindedness. Starting churches anywhere and everywhere we can. Pray for us. Carol and I would like to start a church down by where we live in Vail, Rita Ranch area. Very needy area. There's a harvest, beloved. All around us are people who are lost. Just, and that's why we went to this, because I just hand it to them and I say, here's my card. Everybody takes a card.
Bless God, this is a trap. You're going to hell. If you don't take it, you're going to hell.
That doesn't work too good. Get it in their hand. This is my card. He gets it in their hand. But I said, love to have you come visit with us. I said, by the way, that'll tell you how you can be sure you're on the way to heaven. Oh, I don't want it. Okay, that's his choice. If he throws it away. Right? That's his choice. But I put it in his hand. Do that. There's a harvest. There's a hurry. Amen. There's a hunger. Number three, there's a hunger. Matthew 5:6. And there's a hurry. There's a hurry. That's why we have this passion, this fervency. We know that we're going to run out of life. And now I give you the Trinitarian triplets. As we think about the Lord. Because this truth of evangelism is found in Isaiah chapter 6. I think most of you know this truth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then we have, when he sees the Lord high and lifted up, he says, woe is me, for I am undone. Woe is a word of confession, amen. A word of confession. And maybe there's someone here and you know that there's something in your life that isn't right with God. Come and bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the cross and get it right today. Now. You may not have tomorrow. There's always something about God's will. It's called do it now. Don't wait. You may not have tomorrow. I never understood why that Pharaoh said, take the frogs away tomorrow. Why would you want to have the frogs again? Take them, slimy, take them now.
Tomorrow.
Okay. One more night with the frogs, right? Woe, a word of confession. Lo, a word of cleansing. Lo, and go, a word of commission. Most of us know that outline. The upward look, the upward vision, the inward vision, and the outward vision, right? You familiar with that? Most of us. But I want to go beyond that. Okay? I want to give you the Trinitarian triplets. Would you allow me to do that before we go? And that's why this song you just sang is right where I'm preaching. You did it. It's just amazing. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Now, there's a reason why there's three holies, amen? Three is the number of God. It speaks to us of Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy, Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad we have a holy God? Most people think, well, what's the all-inclusive attribute of God? It's love. Love. No, because God is holy, He is love. Not because God is love, He is holy. His love is a holy love. Right? And so, as you see in the outline, if you have it, holy to the Father. Holy to the Son. Holy to the Holy Spirit. I had no idea you were singing that song. Okay. And what is the application? Is we are to be holy. 1 Peter 1:16. What does that mean? It means be pure, be clean, be righteous. Not self-righteous, but live a holy life, a godly life. We got so... We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Isn't that interesting that they call these things and computers, what do they call them? Devices, right? Don't kid yourself. It can be used for good, but it can also be a trap to take us away from that fellowship. And so the first triplet, the Trinitarian, what do I mean by a triplet? That the word is used three successive times. And it has, and why does God do that? He does that because of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And He wants to emphasize that truth. Holy, holy. Unless you didn't admit, if you didn't get it, in Revelation chapter 4. If you go there quickly. Revelation 4. We have some creatures in heaven. We have these beautiful creatures. I look forward to seeing them. Unusual creatures. God rolls back the curtain of heaven and lets us peek in. And we see in there, and out of the throne, verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5, out of the throne proceeds lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full, think of this, four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first was like a lion. The second was like a calf. The third, I'm looking forward to seeing that beast. Amen. Those beasts, are you? They're good beasts, not bad beasts. Amen. And what does it say? In verse 8, everybody. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. So there it is again, in case you missed it the first time. That's a triplet. Go back to Jeremiah quickly. That's the triplet. That's the Trinitarian call to praise. Praise God from, and thou, of course, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, right? To receive glory and honor and power. And then in Jeremiah quickly. Now what I'm going to give you is this outline, and I want you to kind of work on it and chew on it and let me know. I'm going to give you something to do because I need you to help me if you can find another triplet in the Bible. I'm giving you all of them. And they all have a purpose and a meaning. Amen. Verse 28 of Jeremiah 22. Did I say 22? Jeremiah 22, 28. Is this Coniah a despised broken idol? And is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not. And then interjected in, you know, there's really amazing verses interjected in the midst of the prayer of Jabez. It's in the midst of a chronology where you might not be paying attention. And in the middle of that comes a very precious treasure verse. And that's what we have here. Verse 29. Everybody together. Say it with me. Oh, earth, earth, earth. Hear the word of the Lord. That's the Trinity's call to evangelism. That's the Trinity's call of warning to this world. God the Father says, earth, hear the word of the Lord. I've sent my Son. I've given you my word. I've sent the Holy Spirit of God. Earth, hear the word of the Lord. God the Son cries, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you have a mission statement for your life? He did. That was His purpose in coming, that the Son of Man might come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of God cries, earth, hear the word of the Lord. And the Holy Ghost of God cries, earth, I am here to speak to you, minister to you, and comfort you. Earth, hear the word of the Lord. We think of, when we think of earth, we think of the planet and how this planet, we've talked a little bit about how this planet is canopied with the mercy of God. There's no place in all those universes. There's no place in all those galaxies like this place called earth that's enveloped with the mercy of God, where we can breathe His air and we can drink His water, eat His food, and we have the sunshine and we have the trees and the firmament and the stars. All of it is the mercy of God around this planet. And we think of the population, the great harvest, the great islands of the sea. And the Trinity calls the earth to hear the word of the Lord. But that's not all. Pastor Robert prayed, the Spirit has come to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the last, if you would go to Revelation chapter 8, for the most sobering triplet of all. The most sobering triplet of all. Revelation chapter 8. Oh, this, if this doesn't bring tears to your eyes, if this doesn't move your heart, nothing will. We come down to the end of the age. The saints have been raptured. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit meet in conference. They have opened the seal judgment. Many of the earth have died. Fiery judgment is taking place. And then the trumpet seals are opened. And now we come to the last three trumpet judgments, beloved. Very, very striking. The Bible says in Revelation 8:11, in the name of the star is called Wormwood, a great star fell from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. We hear about these asteroids and different things going to hit the earth. Well, this one's going to hit. Be called Wormwood. A third part of the waters became wormwood. Many men died of the waters, verse 11, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, the third part of them was dark. Now notice that we see a third, a third, a third, a third. See that? There's a reason. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. The Bible says in verse 13, everybody read it with me. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Which are yet to sound. Amen. That's the most serious and sobering of the triplets. God the Father says, holy, we're holy, praise us. The Son, holy, praise us. Holy Spirit, holy, praise us. God the Father says, earth, hear the word of the Lord. God the Son, hear the word of the Lord. God the Spirit,
hear the word of the Lord.
And then we come to the Trinity's call to judgment. We can't even begin to understand the judgment that's going to be unleashed from heaven itself. Over in Jeremiah, if you want to keep your finger there, take a look. Just, you know, the verbiage and the language here is striking in Jeremiah chapter 25. I think he's talking about this day or a day like it. Jeremiah 25 and verse 30 says, "Therefore prophesy thou against them with all these words." Verse 30 of Jeremiah 25, if you can catch up there. Listen to this verbiage. Have you ever heard this before? Have you ever seen this? Do you read the Bible? Doesn't this shaken you, awaken you, quaken you when you see what's going to be happening? Let's read verse 30 out loud together. Jeremiah 25, 30. Everybody, "Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth." Isn't that something? Verse 31, "A noise shall come even unto the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord." I'll tell you what, you go over to Revelation chapter 14 and God says, "Thrust in the sickle." The earth is ripe for judgment. Boy, it's getting riper all the time, isn't it? I have threats against me. Threats of jail. Because I won't marry sodomites. Now anybody can come in our building, right? Anybody can come to church. Behave yourself, you know, don't start spouting off. Anybody's welcome. But I will not defile what we saw yesterday. I had a lady come to me, serious as a heart attack. She came to me and said, "Will you marry me and my dog?" I know, it's almost funny, but if it wasn't so sad, it's dead serious. She said, "Oh, no, this man was awful to me, and this man was awful to me. This is the only one that's been faithful to me." Okay, well, thank God you got a good dog, lady, but that don't mean you have to marry him. Amen? Well, let's put a ring on the dog's paw, you know? Perverted. Just perverted thinking. I'm here to tell you, in heaven, there's planning going on. God's got a schedule, and the Trinity are getting together. And as we look at this sobering time, I'm telling you, our God, our Father God, the God that loves us, the God who's full of compassion, He is finally going to say to this wicked earth, "Woe to you, earth! I've given you everything. Woe to you, earth!" God the Son says, "I have poured out my rich, red, royal, righteous, redemptive blood for you. Woe to the earth!" And the Holy Spirit of God says, "I have drawn you," like the man of God just said. He lights every man that comes into the world. And the Holy Ghost of God said, "Woe to you, earth!" I don't want to be around for that triplet. How about you? I had a man get saved. And we were preaching on tribulation. He came, he got saved. He said, "Pastor Lawton," he said, "I got to get saved." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "You don't want to go to hell." He said, "No, I don't care about hell." I said, "I just don't want to go into that tribulation." Have those creatures come up and sting me and all of that stuff going. Look what it says. Chapter 9. In those days shall men seek death. This is those woes. And death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locust coming up, they're going to come up out of the pit of the earth. Verse 7 of chapter 9 of Revelation, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as like crowns of gold, their faces were as faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. Get a haircut, men. Look like a man. Amen. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was as the sound, forget Harley Davidson's, listen to that. As the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions. We know about scorpions, don't we? Yeah. Nasty things. Stings in their tails. They had power to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them. Here's a Abaddon and Apollyon. On and on we go. We're going to loose down in verse 14. The four angels loose the great river Euphrates over in Iraq / Babylon. Four angels were loosed. Number of them, they had an army to slay the third part of men. 200, we had 200 million on these horses. I'm sure they're going to be special horses. Think of that. Out of their mouths come fire and smoke and brimstone. And they killed a third of the men. Literally hell on earth. Well, you would think, with all of that, that man would say, okay, God, we've had enough. We worship you. We submit. No, they got that, what was that? Oppositional defiant disorder. That's an educational term, you know. Goes on with the ADD. What did I say? Oppositional defiant disorder. I thought, man alive, I said a lot of Christians have that. A lot of course, unsaved people have it. They oppose God. Well, what does it say? The rest of the men that were not killed by these plagues repented not of their works. Can you imagine that? Look what it says, verse 21. Everybody? Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Wow. The word sorceries, of course, pharmakia. Many of you know that. People love their drugs, don't they? They love their booze and their drugs and the stuff. We're going to vote on pot now down there. Lord help us. Pray for us. It's like 51 against, 49-4. That's where it's at right now. By the way, Hillary's a witch. Don't vote for her. She's going to make us change our positions. By law. We're going to be in heap. Why did I preach this? We need to prepare. We need to brace ourselves. We need to understand. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. That's a promise of God. But be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. We're going to have some small T tribulation before we have a capital T tribulation. Revelation 22, and I'm done. Trinity's called to praise. Trinity's called to evangelism. Trinity's called to judgment. And now this is God's final call. You ever heard that song? God's final call. This is it. This is not a pure triplet, but it's pretty close. Verse 22, verse 17, verse 16 first. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. Last verses of the Bible, in case you're wondering where we are. The last page of the Bible. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things. Where? Where? In the churches. Amen. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Everybody, here's our little, it's not a pure triplet, but it's close. Everybody. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know that, oh, whosoever, that isn't in the NIV, is it? I like that word. Amen. We even got a song about it. Whosoever will may come. And God says, you better come now. You may not have now, later. Do you ever notice that yesterday's in the tomb of time, tomorrow's in the womb of time, all I have is now, right now, the present. Today is a gift of God. That's why it's called the present. Amen? It's a present wrapped in the gift, wrapped in the ribbon of His mercy. One fellow asked me, let me just say this. Have you prepared to meet God? God's final call. As far as I know, those are the only triplets in the entire Bible. If you find some more, I would love to hear about it. The first triplet, everyone together, holy, holy, holy. Second triplet, oh earth, earth, earth. Third triplet, whoa, whoa, whoa. And the last is not a triplet, but it's there three times. Come, come, come. Come now while you can. You may not have tomorrow. Let me just share with you, and I'm done. A dear preacher shared about a man. He went to a church to preach. I'll tell you who it was, Dr. David Gibbs. I don't know if you know Dr. David Gibbs or not. He told about a man. He was on the platform getting ready to preach, and in the back door came a flat wheelchair. It's like a gurney almost, and they were wheeling this man in. And Dr. Gibbs said, "What is with that man there? Is he okay?" You know what the man said? He said, "Well, there's a story behind that." And he told him a story. This lady was saved. She was saved, and she had a baby boy, but her husband was a drunkard. And one of those Saturday nights, he and his buddies came home to the house. And that godly lady was praying for her husband, but he was too drunk to care. And he came in with his buddies and saw that little baby boy there. And they were just drunk out of their minds. Yeah, let's go live it up, right? And they took that little baby boy by the arm and swung him around. In their drunken play. And then they took the other arm, swung it around. And then they took the leg and swung it around and ha ha ha, isn't that funny? Threw him against the wall and the other leg. The surgeons did what they could. They saved his life. But as he came up the aisle, he could see that his arms were corkscrewed out. And his legs were corkscrewed out. He said, the pastor said to him, "That man is the best soul winner in our church." He goes out with another man. And he stays there, back in his gurney. And he has this testimony that, yes, I look so unusual, and so I use that. And I decided not to be bitter, but realize that Christ can shine through me. He said, that man is the best. He says, I have 20 families in my church that he won to Christ personally. And after the service, Brother Gibbs came down. And this man, it also affected his voice. And he said, "Brother Gibbs," he said, "I have a question to ask you, Brother Gibbs." And he said, "Yes." He said, "Are you saved, Brother Gibbs?"
"I just preached," he said.
"Do you know Jesus as your Savior?" He said, "He asks everybody that comes across his path if they're saved." Here's a man who goes through excruciating pain every day. It's the best soul winner in their church. You want to know the best soul winner in our church? Her name is Juanita. She came to us, and she came to our little, we had a small building, and She came in. She's a Cheyenne. She's an Indian, a Native American. She came in, and I noticed that she had kind of had this limp, a little bit of a limp. And she came in, and she got saved. We're so glad she got saved. But shortly thereafter, three men violently assaulted her. Terrible, violent, cruel assault. She was walking to get groceries, and they stuffed her after they abused her in every imaginable way. They stuffed her in a barrel and broke her back and stuffed her in that barrel. She almost died. She lives in excruciating pain every day. She walks like this. She has a walker. She kind of walks like this, you know. And sometimes it's hard to understand what she says. She texts me the names and addresses of the people that she wins to Christ every week. Now, little Juanita, who, she gave me these handkerchiefs, and she said, "Pastor, I noticed that you weep a lot." She said, "I hope these handkerchiefs will be a blessing to you." I wonder if that little lady and that man in the gurney can win souls. What are we who are healthy and pretty much pain-free? What are we doing for the Savior? Come. 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 Let's stand. Father, I went over time again. Be good when we get to heaven, or time will be no more. Lord, I'm a worthless, unprofitable servant that should be cast into outer darkness. So grateful for your mercy. So thankful for this pastor, his friendship over these many, many years, back and forth to California, and these precious daughters of his and sons. And what an amazing mushroom of what a splash of joy this has been for me, just to rekindle the fellowship. Two busy preachers just kind of crossing in the night of October 22nd and 23rd. Seas are very stormy, Lord. Nation's going to hell. Whoever wins the presidency, it's going to be pretty dishonorable at best. So, Lord, I beg you, Lord, to give us grace to brighten the corner where we are, wherever we are, with ever who we are. And help the people to respond today. Thou art Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. We praise you today. We thank you today. And we know you're calling to the earth that clarion call, that proclamation of evangelism. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. We're too busy to hear, Lord. Help us to, beyond hearing, help us to listen, be attentive. Lord, that call of judgment brings tears to our eyes to think that any of our loved ones, anybody we know, would even go into that time of horrendous judgment upon a rebellious world. And so, we respond today, come, come, come. Help us to do that. I wonder how many would say, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure about my personal salvation. Please pray for me." Is there anyone like that? You say, "Please, remember me in prayer." How many Christians would say, "Pastor, pray for me. I got some things I need to get settled now. I need to come now. Pray for me." Is there some like that? Say, "Pray for me, would you?" Yes. Father in heaven, bring those who need to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Roberts.